If you'd open up your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 22. As we, it's hard to mean when you think about it. I know it's not the last day of the year, but we're closing out our last Sunday of 2020. And it's been a long year, and I don't know that it's done yet. And, but I felt that it would be proper, appropriate to close out the year, the last Sunday anyway, with the Lord's Supper, having communion, breaking of bread with one another. And I want you to look with me at Luke chapter 22. We'll cut into the chapter at verse 14. Luke 22, 14, and we'll read down over to verse number 20. And what we have here is a setting for the first communion. And notice what it says here in verse number 14. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. But I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. When we think of communion, we go back to the very first communion that was instilled by our Lord after or at during the time of the Passover feast. It is a time of celebration, believe it or not. Many times it might be a time of sorrow because of what Christ had to undergo, but it's a celebration in that he raised 3 days later. It's a celebration that through his dying on the cross and suffering sin and shame, it paid our debt. Amen. So it's actually a time of celebration. It started in the upper room and Jesus and just the 12 disciples. It's interesting. A lot of preachers that I know will tell you that Judas went out before and did not partake of it. Not according to Luke here. Luke shows that they were all still there. And in verse number 21, but behold, the hand of him that betrayed me is on the table. I think he was there at that time as well, according to the Gospel of Luke. So it started in the upper room with Jesus and the 12. It continued through the early church. The early church broke bread from house to house many times. They took time to remember what Christ had done for them. They took time to celebrate his death, his burial, his resurrection. And they celebrated that one of these days, guess what? He's coming again, just like he said. In our study, I think it's perfect for us to close out 2020 on this last Sunday with remembering what our Lord has done for us and with anticipation that he's coming again and it could be soon. Amen. We all know what the symbols of these celebration are. The bread represents, we know, the body of the one who called himself the bread of life, and the fruit of the vine, which to me is not fermented wine. I believe that it was the fruit of the vine. It hadn't gone through fermentation. Fermentation is a time of corruption, and his blood was not corrupt. I know some churches use real wine. I don't think that's scriptural. Be like using real bread that's leavened. We don't use leavened bread either. And so we see that we have the symbolism here of our celebration is simply the bread, and it's the fruit of the vine representing the blood of Christ. But the question is, what is it that we are actually celebrating? As Jesus was with the 12, what were they celebrating? As this, it was passed down to the early church, and they did it weekly or however often they did it. What were they celebrating? And it comes, and it's with us today still in December 27, 2020. What are we celebrating? There's a couple of things that we celebrate when we partake of communion. Number one, communion celebrates free salvation. It's absolutely free. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory that which I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. And then he tells us what the gospel is. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So we celebrate salvation, and not just salvation, but we celebrate the freeness of salvation, that it is the gift of God. From the upper room to the of the First Communion to today, as we meet and gather in His name for this, we are celebrating the salvation that God has given through the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. And we're not just celebrating that the salvation that we've received, but we're celebrating its freeness, that it was nothing that we did to earn it, amen? For by grace are ye saved, amen? Through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is, he says, the gift of God. And what a great celebration. Communion doesn't bring salvation, folks. We all know that, right? It celebrates salvation, in which we've already partaken of. So communion calls us always back to the cross. So we see that communion celebrates free salvation. Secondly, communion also celebrates full forgiveness. We kind of touched on that this morning already. But we're celebrating as we come down here, and our men will come forward soon. We'll take the top off. We'll go around, and everybody will be taking a thing of two cups, actually, this time, like we did last time. There will be two cups. One will have the fruit of the vine in it. One will have the piece of bread so that you can just take it and do it like that so that we don't pass any germs on. But as we have our men serve and we all get ready to partake of that, we're celebrating, thank you for your salvation, that gift of God. But we're also celebrating that I have received full forgiveness of my sins. What a way to end the year, amen? What a way to close out the last service on the Lord's Day than remembering the gift of salvation and the fullness of forgiveness. Consider those who were in the upper room in that first communion. Think about the 12 that were there, that were celebrating. Peter was there, was he not? And we talked earlier that Peter would deny the Lord three times that would follow this celebration. Who else was there? Well, Thomas was there. Doubting Thomas, we sing the song, Doubting Thomas, you should have come along. When the church doors open, you don't ever want to stay at home. Man, he missed out. And there's many doubting Thomases even today. But there was, on that first communion celebration, there was Thomas, and he would doubt the resurrection. He would doubt the resurrection. And then there were all the others were there that were faithful. We know that Judas would go out and betray the Lord. But what about all the others? Those that were there that were faithful. Look back in the Gospel of Mark. Because we don't want to just pick on Peter, and we don't want to just pick on Thomas. But look in Mark chapter 14. Look what Mark records for us concerning this area here. As he picks up in verse 22 about the Lord's Supper. But then you get all the way down to verse 50. And it says, and they all forsook him and fled. Did y'all catch that? Everyone that was at that first celebration forsook him and fled. Here we're celebrating the freeness of salvation and the fullness of forgiveness, and yet here they were celebrating that and would all forsake him. Just a few verses down the road, if you would. These, what we would call fearful ones, would be fully forgiven. Amen? They would be fully forgiven. Peter would be forgiven, and he would become the great spokesman of the early church. On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 being converted because of his preaching. And then later in the book of Acts, 5,000 would be converted because of their preaching. Thomas, after 1 week, W-E-A-K, W-E-E-K, after 1 week of doubting the Lord would say, "My Lord and my God," in a declaration that echoes and is recorded in Scripture for us to read. "My Lord and my God." And then these disciples, these fearful ones who would forsake him and flee, those are the ones that became the nucleus of what we know as that mighty early church. Folks, these weren't so much what we consider great because of who they were. It was because of who their God was. I mean, think about making up, if you were God and you were going to make up a church from choice people, you would have chosen someone who doubted you, doubted your power to raise yourself from the dead. You would have had people that would say, "Yeah, he's my Savior." "Well, no, he's not. No, he's not. No, he's not." And then when they need you at the most, you would take off and flee in fear. And yet that's what made up the early church. As a matter of fact, I want to tell you, that's what makes up the church today. People that are not faithful, people that will flee from the Lord, people that will deny him, and yet they can still have full forgiveness. They became the nucleus of this dynamic early church. So communion reminds us all that we can all be fully forgiven. Amen. Again, we talked about 1 John 1:9 earlier this morning, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and he is just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us. Not just forgive us, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then thirdly, not only do we celebrate free salvation and full forgiveness, but communion celebrates our fantastic future. We have a future, amen? I mean, right now, we don't know what our future down here holds, do we? I don't know what's going to happen. Well, the Bible tells us we don't know what's on tomorrow, right? But even if we could look a little far out, it looks very uncertain at best. We're still waiting for election results and how that's even going to come out ultimately, really. If there's going to be rioting and everything going on with all of that, or how these things are going to be fulfilled, I don't know. But I'll tell you what, our future goes well beyond this world. Amen? And when we partake of the elements, we're celebrating our future. And it's not down here, it's with the Lord in glory. We will share time with Christ in his coming. Back in Luke chapter 22, look at verse number 16. "For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Christ was looking forward to the fulfillment of it coming. We will be with him in the kingdom of God. Flip over to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In 1 Thessalonians 4, these are familiar verses. Look at verse number 13. This is a part of the future of the communion service. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not." "Even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord." There's where our authority always lies. "That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." This is a part of the fulfillment of why we celebrate our future, amen? Because this is a future event. And that's what we remember when we break bread, the coming kingdom. John chapter 14, Jesus told the disciples, told him not to be afraid. Did he not? "Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God," the Bible tells us. And he goes, in chapter 14, verse 3, says, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will" what? "Come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." That's what we celebrate when we think about communion, the future. Turn to Revelation 19. As we break bread this afternoon, this will be a part of our celebration as well. Revelation 19, the coming kingdom and the time we have with Christ is in the area here of the marriage feast. In Revelation 19, look at verse number 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Folks, as we take of the fruit of the vine and we take that little piece of bread, it's more than just these little elements that we're taking. We're anticipating as a time of celebration that we're going to be a part of that one day. That's going to be a glorious day. Matter of fact, he tells us in verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. I tell you what, some of us are not even going to recognize ourselves in heaven. We're going to be so pumped up and joyful. Yeah, I can see that it's already working. Some of you are going to defy gravity and jump and shout for joy. And we're going to say, is that so-and-so? Man, they didn't act like that when I was preaching. And I was preaching about this situation, you know. Man, we ought to be rejoicing and be glad, amen? And we need to let our faces know that we are. I'm telling you. This is what I was going to be. This is a time of celebration. It's a great celebration. Your salvation was a gift to you. You've been completely forgiven of all unrighteousness. And he goes, and you have a fantastic future. And I know this is just not my personality. But we're supposed to be filled with the Spirit. Let him have our personality, are we not? Yeah. Communion looks to the future. Matter of fact, look over here at chapter 19. Look at verse number 10. And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said to me, see thou not, do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of the brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, future events. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon it was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Folks, I want to tell you, righteousness is coming one day here. Amen. There's a lot of unrighteousness happening. I tell you what, if the things in our world make sinners upset and sick, imagine what it does to a holy and righteous God. And he's going to come on that white horse, and his name is Faithful and True. Folks, when we partake of these, we're talking about that coming day. We're celebrating our future. And he says, that's coming. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. The authority will come once and for all. Communion may look back to the cross, but it looks forward to the return of Christ and our being with him. John says in Revelation 20 and verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Communion celebrates. It celebrates that a sinner had been turned into a saint. Amen. One that is set apart by God and for God. One that was defiled, that was leprous, if you would, unclean. And God transformed you and me to where we are vessels fit for the Master's use. Not only now, but in the days ahead. Communion reminds us that the best is yet to come. It's more than just breaking bread and drinking a little cup. It's a celebration. It's a celebration that my salvation was a gift by God. It's a celebration that I have been fully forgiven, and it's a celebration that one day I'm going to be seated with him one day in glory. The bride of Christ is the New Testament church. And we will be in arrayed in white raiment, which is the righteousness of the saints. Folks, this is worth celebrating right here. And sometimes we go through it like it's just a little thing that we go through, like picking up a hymnal and singing, and it means nothing. I tell you what, you better make sure that your heart's right when you partake of these elements here. Jesus says, if you take of this stuff and it means nothing to you, he goes, I will have to teach you a lesson through chastening. So let's take a few minutes here and have a quiet time where each one of us can examine our own hearts. Lord, if there's anything in my heart that ought not to be there, I pray, Father, that you would forgive me of that and cleanse me so that I can be ready for this type of celebration. We ought to be excited, amen, to come and be with us, because one day the Lord is going to serve us these same elements again. Let's have a quiet time, and then I'll have prayer, and then I'll have our men come forward.